Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi, from Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing, I'm opinionated on life in general. Many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
We're here, Brooklyn to the world, Pauly Malignaggi, Peter Cards, and the return, Seth Nyman.
My man, hey. Seth is back.
I miss you guys, man.
Did you really miss us? Or are you just saying that?
No, I like you guys.
Yeah, all right.
I don't like everybody. I like you guys, though.
You had a baby. You were off for, like, what, 2.5 weeks?
Talia Louise.
Talia Louise.
Welcome, Talia Louise, to the world. Last time we had Seth with us, she was not in this world yet. She's now here.
Yep.
I thought you were going to wait till she went to fucking college before you came back.
Who takes off that long? Hey, don't
Bro.
Curse and talk about my daughter at the same time.
Seriously.
I'm like a pit bull right
now.
Seth,
can you straighten this guy out?
Seriously. What's up? We got the game?
We got the game of what? We've been trying to get the Juventus game in this. We got Juventus versus Borussia Mönchengladbach.
What you put on a soap opera?
What's going on?
What screen is that?
Oh my God.
Fuck's sakes, Brian.
I walk into the studio,
Brian?
And they got SportsCenter on. Juventus is playing Borussia Mönchengladbach. The second half started of 10 minutes ago.
Mönchengladbach?
And I'm waiting to get this game on.
Why are you talking about Morgan's back?
And they're putting on SportsCenter highlights.
Hey, we just opened the studio.
Everybody in England, seriously. Get on Peter Codge's back, sir. He's a pretend football fan. Like, he's a pretend soccer fan. He had the balls to just tell me before, it's the group stages. It doesn't matter. What do you mean it doesn't matter? You guys in a group with Borussia Mönchengladbach from Germany and Man City, a British team, a team from the Premier League. Yeah, it matters. Only two teams get out of that group. Yeah, it matters. It really matters.
Why do you keep talking about Morgan's black back?
This guy's unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
What did you say?
Wait till the Brits get their hands on you for not even knowing the real soccer teams. Wait till they get their hands on you.
This guy said Morgan's back.
Look at this.
And he's going to be sorry.
I'm gonna let my British podcast listeners get on you, Peter Codds. I don't even got to argue this point. I don't even have to argue this point. But can we get this channel changed already? For fuck's sake! What episode is this anyway, people? We lost Seth already. Seth just joined us and we lost him already.
Seth's busy, man. He's busy.
Seth probably went to check on the channel. Mm-hmm. If there's any way they can change it.
Because you're a
back
fucking,
at the home base.
Because you're a fucking
we can't change it here in the studio.
Holy merc.
By the way, this TV screen.
This is episode 26, bitch.
Why did you have to check on your phone? Usually you know you're on
Come
top
on, bro.
Of this.
Really? A show.
Really? Yeah, but he's the counter. And by the way, that's
Junior.
Junior Union.
The young god.
Prospect. Up and coming prospect. I'm also training back with his father, Sharif Union. He's Junior Union. He's Junior. No, that's why the name Junior.
But his name is actually Junior. He's not Sharif Junior.
Alright, well, whatever. We don't need to talk about the complications right now. Seriously. Right now, anyway, he just joined us on the podcast today. We just came from the gym. And again, we were.
He's my up and coming super middleweight.
Peter Cards works with him as well. Yo, man, I'm getting really aggravated. Patriots prepare for improved Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't care about the NFL right now. I want to watch the Juventus game.
We saw Ryan Fitzpatrick yesterday.
Yeah, we did see him, Ryan Fitzpatrick, yesterday. We went to this Foot Locker event yesterday, me and Peter Codge. We were really dappered up. I felt like we were like Lloyd Christmas and Harry Dunn,
weren't we? We really were. We were really doing it, though, weren't we?
Yeah, we really did. We went into this event for Foot Locker, and it's basically like a dress-up event. You have to get dressed up, but you have to wear sneakers.
Which is weird.
Well, not really. I mean, it's very Euro. And, you know, Euro. I'm down for that, though. I'm down.
It is. What about the underwear you were wearing at the gym today?
Bro, that's
that
that's
was fucking
speedo.
Euro.
What about
that was Euro?
I go in the locker room. He's wearing the Borat speedo.
Yeah. Why were you looking at my bro? It keeps everything tight. It keeps everything nice and tight when you're training. No joke. It keeps everything nice and tight when you're training. Those European underwears, they keep everything nice and, you know. I need my package not bouncing around on me when I'm working out. All right.
Wow.
Everything keeps a.
All right.
You want my explanation or you just want me to say, oh, yeah, I was wearing them?
I didn't ask him.
Yeah, but you were looking at me like, why would you wear those? That's why I wear those.
Don't slam on the fucking table.
Look, the channel's changing, but it's not changing to the right channel. Look at this. Look at this. They're Brian, changing the channels. The channel's changing, but not to the right channel.
Brian, you're giving us a lot of answers. You're not giving us the right answers,
yeah.
Brian.
Yes.
You're fucking around now. We're fucking around. You're starting to come out of it.
Yeah. But he's back. He ends up going back to the regular channel again. You gave us all the answers, Seth. Not the right answers, though. The channel looked like it was changing, and then it went
the
back.
Channel, and
then it went back to
the
same place.
To this stupidity.
Went back to the same place again.
I just did it. I just had it on.
Seth, it wasn't. It obviously was only on in whatever room you just came from. It wasn't on in here. We never had the game in here.
Right, we're actually doing the show. Can we stop worrying about the game right now?
No, I got to tell you something.
Okay.
I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to not worry about the game.
I'm gonna
say this. He's got the game. Look, Seth, he's got it on in the other room. He doesn't have it on in here. I'll tell you what, though. We are back in our own studio.
It's a new studio.
Well, it's a new studio, but on this old floor that we had.
Correct.
Our main floor.
Correct.
So it's like we're back in the circle of trust,
yeah.
Kind of, so to speak, but... I feel like we're back in the circle of trust, but we're not really back in the circle of trust because they let us back in this room. They have like a new and updated room. They make us get excited that there's a TV here, but we can't get the right channel. Like,
why are you so angry today, man? You came in like on fire.
Because you know what it is? I don't like when Peter Codd schedules the time of this podcast when the Champions League is on. He does it to me every time. And
wow.
I forget. And he checks with me like earlier in the week. Like on Sundays. Like, we're going to do the podcast this week at this time. And I'm like, yeah. Because I'm not thinking on Sunday about midweek football games. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking like, yeah, we're good. And then the day comes. And the day gets here. And I realize I'm in the middle of watching a game. And I got to come to the studio.
He's actually going on a rant right now. It's probably taken up like 15 minutes of whatever we've been doing so far. You know that we were supposed to do the podcast tomorrow, and he said tomorrow doesn't work.
Yeah, but
so,
but you gotta remind me that there's Champions League.
Oh, I gotta remind
you.
Yeah,
you gotta remind me.
Okay.
You gotta let me know because I'm not thinking about. I got too much. I got too much on my mind. There's a lot on my mind. You gotta remind me, like every Seth. From now on, we schedule the podcast. We gotta remember.
Talk to me.
We gotta remember. You know what? Make sure that whatever if there's Champions League games on during the week. You schedule around the Champions League games, right? Seth understands it. He's belching all over. What are you doing over here?
Although this is good. I like this. This is good for the podcast, though.
What's good for the podcast?
Your energy. It's great.
We're recording, right?
Circle.
We are recording.
Oh,
the channel's changing again. Look, Seth, what is going on over here? Look. Ah! Now it went blank. Now we're on...
What, Nat Geo? What
and
the...
And it's a lie. He changes it. What is this? ESPN Live. Wait for Champions League. But the game,
boom.
The game's not actually on though.
Boom! We got it actually.
No, it's got a back blank screen. Turn it. We had it.
Yeah.
No, it's what is it? Well, we got the game, folks. I'm now gonna follow this Juventus game live. Borussia Mönchengladbach. Oh my goodness! We Juventus
look at the big screen we got.
I don't care about the
60 inches.
I don't care about the size of the screen. Literally, the size of the screen is about the.
You guys can't call this game. You can't do it.
No, we're not going to call. No, this is a tough game to call. But although you
have to say something. You can't call it like an announcer.
Yeah, don't commentate.
I'm not going to. What do I look like? A commentator to you?
Yeah, you kind of do. You do. A little bit.
He said, what do I look like? A commentator?
Not for this game. Come on. I just want to be able to keep track of the game.
Yo,
here,
you're fucking dumb, man.
Bro!
Whoa, that's not nice.
This guy. Yo, honestly, all my Twitter followers are going to get you. Don't worry. Tweet this guy, at Peter Codd. Let him have it.
Why don't you just Periscope
for
a
being
bit.
A fake football fan.
Do a little Periscope.
Fake soccer fan.
Periscope.
Yeah, do some Periscoping.
I could.
Nobody does video anymore. Come on.
That's too technologically advanced for me. I don't know. I don't even know where to
begin. It's a button.
Begin.
It's a button. It's an app.
Periscope.
You press a button.
What is it? Para? What is
it? Oh,
you
got a BlackBerry still, right?
I got a BlackBerry. Don't make fun of my BlackBerry because it's very, very useful, okay? I don't do the whole touchscreen thing. All my listeners at this point, they know I don't do the touchscreen thing. I've gone over this many times.
Sure,
by the way, you know what? I did get an email the other day that there's like some kind of new BlackBerry coming out. And you know something else? It has buttons.
Buttons.
So we're
going
to stay on the BlackBerry tip. Although I hope this BlackBerry survives to the time that the new one comes out. Because this BlackBerry, I got to be honest with you, I love it, but it's kind of going. I may have to get a new phone soon.
You must be really
good
at solitaire.
Which will be another BlackBerry, obviously.
You're going to be really good at solitaire then, right? You're really good at solitaire?
No. Yeah, I guess. I am.
On a BlackBerry.
Yeah. I don't really play a lot of solitaire, Seth. Seth, you came back with jokes today. I got to be honest with you. You've been missing a couple weeks. You came back with jokes. All right, we'll get you.
I don't sleep anymore. I'm out of my mind.
That's a penalty kick.
Oh, Jesus.
You're a real fucking Weisenheimer over there.
Hey, oh. is that some kind of Jewish remark you're making? Weisenheimer?
Weisenheimer.
Weisenheimer?
We are on...
what are we on?
We're on Periscope.
Live?
This guy's got Periscope for real?
Oh, Periscope.
Yeah. I thought you were making it up. We're really going to go on Periscope right now? Is that like some kind of live video feed?
Yeah. Everybody
you go underwater with that.
Anybody on Twitter
you
could
follow. You got to pass this stuff by me. You got to run this by me first. You can't just start reporting live when I'm on... You can't do that. I'm watching the game over here. Oh!
Oh, don't film the game. We're going to get sued. We're going to get sued.
Look at the big screen. We're watching. Yeah, we're going to get sued. You couldn't tell if my friends were on the screen or if it was fucking Jesus Christmas.
Oh, you guys want everything.
Nah, I'm fine.
We got
I'm
a TV here. It just doesn't seem to be working, though.
Nah.
Will you take us off this damn Periscope?
No.
These are this is like... This is like he's like paparazzi. You know the paparazzi where I'm gonna be like Tommy Lee in a second. I'm gonna start dragging you all over the place.
Sean Penham. Oh, Sean Penham.
All your fans. Look at what they say. Hey. Oh, Sugar Boy, what's up, bro?
Oh,
hey, Sugar Boy. Yeah, Sugar Boy's on.
Oh, enough. So what are we gonna talk about? We gotta talk about this weekend's fight first and foremost. Several different fights actually this past weekend. Obviously the biggest fight of the weekend was the Golovkin fight.
Oh yeah,
against David Lemieux. Everybody was very excited about the fight going in. Decent card, you know. I thought Roman Gonzalez, Chocolatito looked really good in handling Brian Valoria after a little bit of a slow start.
Oh, you want
what?
You want to talk about Chocolatito some more? Remember the fight?
He's the best fighter ever. Sugar's like the biggest fan of Chocolatito. He's a good fighter. That's
how
we
deny
were
it.
Saturday. You were saying like he's the best thing since sliced bread. No, he's a good fighter. Right. Looking at everything he does, everything amazing. Like I thought you were a bit exaggerating.
You gave Valoria a chance.
I did.
Yeah.
I came up with Valoria.
But obviously,
there was no chance.
It's
my friend. And he won the first round, maybe even the second round.
Yeah, the first minute of the second round. After that, then he fell down.
The first minute of the second round
he
counts.
He fell off of a cliff after that.
Listen, Roman Gonzalez is more in his prime. Roman Gonzalez is a very good fighter, and I'm definitely not going to take anything away from Roman Gonzalez. And even Brian Valoria said that's the best opponent he ever faced. So, you know, let's give credit where credit's
due. There you go.
Chocolatito.
So, obviously, Valoria was blowing him, too.
Oh.
Hey. This is a family show.
Family
yeah.
show.
Come on.
Seth, keep these
this
guys
is
in check,
G-rated.
See what happens? You're missing a couple of weeks in the
The zoos have taken over. The inmates are running the asylum.
Oh, where's fucking, where's Pat?
Where's Pat? He's a big Mets fan. We're going to get to him in a second. Right, we're going to get to Pat and the Mets in a second.
You guys want you want me? I can get Pat in here. You want me out?
No.
Seth, we like you.
Seth, don't fuck around.
I'll walk.
So... That you know, the Gonzalez fight was what it was. And then we had the Lemieux and GGG fight. Everybody was excited about this fight. I gotta be honest, Lemieux lasted longer than I thought he would last. No? What'd you think?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I took the under.
I was gonna say.
Matter of fact, I pulled a Peter Cards and took a losing bet.
Oh, he got jokes today.
So I took the under with Golovkin, and it went over Lemieux. I don't know that he won any part of the fight at all. Do you think he was competitive at all? I don't really think it was even
remotely competitive.
Not even
a little bit.
But I got to give him credit.
He's got balls.
Yeah. And Zaza just came in. Mandzukic came out. Zaza came in just saying, come on, Zaza!
Zaza!
Zaza! Come on. Anybody seen Godfather 3? Zaza!
Zaza came in.
No, literally. He just came in. No joke. Like, he's going to score a goal, too. Guarantee. Anyway, so we have... the Lemieux and GGG fight. What'd you think of that fight, Pete?
The hype was more exciting than the actual fight.
I think we all expected that. I mean, anybody who expected the fight to live up to the hype was probably a little bit like slow, like a little bit like Forrest Gumpish.
See, if I was,
but you know, you get excited. You got two big punchers coming in, and anytime you got two big punchers about to match up against each other, you know, it always generates a little bit of talk, a little bit of hype.
People do
in boxing, boxing fans, boxing media. They do tend to get more excited about offense than defense. It's a natural human reaction, you know.
What
and so
did I say to
two
make
very
it more
strong
exciting?
Offensive fighters. Go ahead. What would you say?
Triple G should have came in with Borat.
You think so?
That's a fact.
I don't know.
I would have.
See, you guys are all for this, but I don't.
You would have been like, yeah, Shemesh.
I know. But what I'm saying is, what about the political landscape? You know, because I remember when Borat actually first came out, there were people who thought he was a true, real person. I'll give you an example. My friend Andrea, who lives in Milan, it's Andre. Andrea is actually, it's spelled Andrea, which in English might be a girl's name, but Andrea in Italian actually is Andre. Anyway, he lives in Milan now. He was living in the U.S.
That's our boy.
When he told me about Borat, he said that guy's not allowed to go back to his country. Wow. So I had to explain to him.
Did he mean? He didn't mean Sacha Baron Cohen. Borat.
He thought Borat. He thought that was like a real like footage movie, and he thought like Borat wasn't allowed to go back to Kazakhstan anymore. Like he had brought shame to the country. So obviously, whether he's fictional or not, I don't know that he's a guy that, you know, Triple G is gonna be proud to be and bring around them. You know what I'm saying? Even as a character. I mean, if I was GGG, I would have that guy. Right. That guy would be my team mascot. You know
I have an idea for when I fight for a world title.
Go ahead. What are you going
to
do?
I might have to come out on a camel with Aladdin.
You and his camel? Because he's Egyptian.
There you go.
Sugar Union, Junior Sugar Union is Egyptian.
The announcement is officially made.
Aladdin. Now, Aladdin,
he's
is that like...
He's not Sugar anymore. He's the young god.
Oh, he's the young god? You're not Sugar anymore? You've been Sugar since you came out of the womb. Now you're now the young god?
Yeah.
Literally, I've seen this kid since he's... In the baby carriage, you were Sugar. No joke.
Sugar.
Even before he could talk, they named him Sugar.
Exactly. That's a fact. Literally. That's actually a fact.
I didn't know his name was Junior until like 10 minutes ago. He's always been Sugar. Are you kidding me?
But Aladdin.
Aladdin. Like, yeah. Like positive and negative?
Yeah.
Aladdin? Like, yeah. Like what was that movie?
Dictator.
The Dictator.
Your HIV Aladdin.
Oh. HIV Aladdin.
No, the best was when he would go like this. No, it's okay. The person's dead.
Wow. So Junior's got to bring the sense of humor to things when he comes up to the big time fights. But talk about GGG. Do you think if he comes out with Borat, it would bring shame, or do you think people would take it for what it is, which would be a joke? Because I feel like everybody's too sensitive nowadays. I feel like everybody takes everything too seriously.
I think it depends where.
Nobody can take.
I think in America they would love it, but yeah. Over there they might not.
What about
let
if his
back.
Opponent came out with Borat?
Oh, that's a scumbag move,
right?
Right,
and came out to that song that Borat always has on too.
Kazakhstan, yeah.
Which
I had to make a poof. What
but then, poof. If you're fighting the guy who has Borat, how do you get back Borat? You know how you get back Borat if you find the guy who's fighting Borat, or the guy with you bring Seth.
Even
Seth,
Seth's
Jewish.
Yeah.
And Borat didn't like Jews.
Remember? He would
remember?
See
you just bring Seth.
He would
that's
see
it.
Your horn.
You combat that.
Throw the
Jew
down
by
the well.
Seth with us.
So my people can be free. Yeah.
We'll bring you. If we fight that guy, we'll bring in you.
I am fired up right now, dude.
Dude, I'm fired up just thinking about it. Think of the possibilities for the promotions.
Let's
not enough fucking, people think of this.
Let's get naked and fuck.
Oh!
now you, took all my anger and energy, and now it's just got all weird.
Yeah, it got all weird. Yeah. But that was like, we know what was that? That was on that was Kenny Powers. I know every joke Peter Klotz has. I know every joke Peter Klotz has. I can read between it. That was a Kenny Powers episode. But anyway, so
I missed that show.
Yeah, that was great, right?
Did you guys watch Easy Money yet?
No.
There you go.
No, but I had the DVD.
Yeah, that's great.
I did order the DVD. Yeah. We got the DVD. A friend of mine sent it to me. I got to be honest with you.
We established that.
Yeah, I know.
We have the DVD.
One of these days.
Well, whatever. I'm gonna watch it one of these days. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm back in training, I think, and, you know, that's kind of a good thing to do is watch movies.
Yeah, I've been telling you to watch a movie for the
again,
past
Sugar
6
too.
Days.
Sugar became Siskel and Ebert now.
Yeah. Why, what are you saying?
Focus.
You're trying to get me to watch Focus from the Will Smith movie. And
my
the girl from
Jay.
The girl from what's her name?
Margot Robbie.
Oh my god, dude!
My brother-in-law Jay.
I would do Peter Cards to get to Margot Robbie.
That's
that's a bold statement.
Yeah, man.
I gotta look her up.
If Margot Robbie's like at the next room and I get to see her and she's all like lingerie up and like all like hot and sexy and like all done up. And they said, all right, but now you got to come in this room, Paulie. You got to get through
salad.
Peter Card. You got to toss Peter Card's salad to get to Margot Robbie. I'll hesitate for a second. I'll go back and take another peek at Margot Robbie, looking the way she is, and then I'll come back and do Peter Card's. Boom! And now I have Margot Robbie.
Yo, you need the effects. The bomb had to drop.
Like today?
If I could get Margot Robbie, I would go through that. You know what? All my listeners, what would you do? Bro, if you could get Margot Robbie, you know a lot of you pricks would do that at home, too. Don't even try to front.
I just looked her up.
Try to front.
I'm not into blondes.
Would you do it today?
You're not into blondes. You know, that's one of the biggest things. That's one of my biggest pet peeves with people like, you're into brunettes or you're into blondes. Bro, I'm into whatever looks good.
Oh, no.
What are you talking about? Blondes. blondes and brunettes. Why? If I like brunettes, like a blonde can't look good to me? Or if I like blondes and brunette can't look good to me? Dude.
No, I think she looks
if
good.
If they look good, I'm into them. That's it.
I'm just not tossing his salad to meet her. That's all.
Well, today, listen, today would be a rough day because I took like four diarrheas today.
Did you?
Oh, my God. So if you had to toss my salad, God. That would be like you would have like fucking Nutella all over your
All right. We're going to take it back to the conversation, back to a normal place. So what are we saying? We're saying, you know, people are too sensitive nowadays, and then we make these jokes like that. So at least we're not sensitive, that's for sure. But
So Triple G and Lemieux.
So what do you think of the actual fight? I thought he was very effective. I didn't expect a competitive fight. Lemieux lasted longer than I thought he would. But that's because Golovkin, for me, gave him a little bit more respect than I anticipated. And that's because Lemieux can punch. So that's to be to be respected on Golovkin's part. He fought a smart fight. He used his jab a lot more, which is good.
There was like a 5-second window where Lemieux landed like a good body shot, and I think Triple G took like an extra breather.
He didn't throw. He didn't throw for a good minute.
Yeah.
But I mean, if that's your claim to fame,
here's my thing with David Lemieux. I think he reminds me so much of Arturo Gatti. I mean, the whole Montreal connection, a good-looking guy, big fanfare where he comes from. I really thought when he won the world title, this was the kind of guy that you could maneuver and create and build a star. You don't go for Golovkin right away. You know, when they built Arturo Gatti into a superstar that he was in his heyday, they didn't go for the killers right away. They didn't go for Oscar right away. They didn't go for the Mayweather fight right away. They kind of built up to that. You know, they let him make those title defenses. They let him get those kind of fights. And then, eventually, you build it to a crescendo where there's a lot of anticipation, where you build up enough hype where people actually believe a lot of it. And then, you know, you go into the major fights. And even if he loses, you're going to get paid a lot of money. You know, I heard David Lemieux made $1.5 million. You know, I don't think that's nearly enough for the risk that he took on Saturday night to fight GGG. And now you're saying, oh, $1.5 million is a lot of money. It is. But what I mean by risk is not just the actual going into the ring and fighting Golovkin. What I mean by risk is throwing away all the momentum that he could have generated by fighting other guys. Like, if you would have put David Lemieux in against Toriano Johnson, for example. Toriano Johnson is a solid middleweight. He's fun to watch. He brings an honest effort every time. Offensive-minded. Fights his ass off. And Lemieux probably beats him, but it's a good fight.
In my opinion, I give Turiano like 5 rounds.
What, against Lemieux?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like 5 rounds to get knocked out or 5 rounds he wins?
No, 5 rounds to get knocked out.
You know, whatever it is, but I think Turiano would make it fun. And what I'm saying is you would keep building what you're trying to build, which is in the end Lemieux keeps on winning. Yeah. You know? And I think people would expect Lemieux to win, but Turiano wouldn't go away easily. That's what I'm saying.
What you're saying is
those kind of opponents. You need those kind of opponents.
Right. What you're saying is basically Lemieux's stock could have kept rising.
Yeah. You can get him maybe a Martin Murray.
Right.
Another guy. You know what I mean? Like, you can bring these kind of names.
Gil.
Defend the world title. Gil. You can bring these kind of names. Defend the world title in Montreal where he's a megastar. Keep making him into more of a megastar because he's a world champion. And every time he's fighting in that belt center, he's going to be a world champion defending the title. And then, after all that, you make the Golovkin fight. And you know what? You made the Golovkin fight in Montreal. You know, Golovkin, in the end, is always going to stop Lemieux. I think he always stops him anyway. But you can make the Golovkin fight in Montreal after building up the fight in Montreal for all those defenses for Lemieux. And the fight becomes easily between $5 and $7 million for Lemieux instead of 1.5. For me, this is my opinion.
You bring up a good point.
Uh-huh.
You bring up a really good
point.
This
is a business, not just a sport. Right.
Okay, you bring up a good point. All these fights that you say he could have taken, they could have molded him.
It's
and
only 26,
built him up.
Pete.
Right,
it's
right,
only
26.
Right.
He could have fought in Montreal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Selling him out, making money.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, he only got 1.5.
That's what I heard. That's what I was heard. Don't confirm it, but that's what I heard. That's what I was told.
I hope he's getting some of the revenue split, because how much is Triple G getting then?
Probably not.
But this is $60 pay-per-view. This is a $60 pay-per-view, and I'm sure they did a lot of buys.
You think so?
Well, yeah.
Do you think it should have been on pay-per-view?
I don't think it should have.
Yeah, it could.
I don't think either of them had enough notoriety in the U.S. yet. But, you know.
Canelo or Cotto.
Cotto's a definite pay-per-view.
Yeah, no, but if you're going to sell... No, but this is the thing. I'm a fight fan, and you know we order all of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to put Mayweather-Berto, Mayweather this one, and Mayweather that one, this fight could be a pay-per-view.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is pay-per-view is not so much how good the fight is all the time. It's more about notoriety.
Yeah,
I mean, sure. Mayweather-Pacquiao was a pay-per-view. For me, that fight was never going to be good, but you have to make that pay-per-view.
Yeah, sure.
So, in the end, it's about notoriety more so than it is styles. I mean, there's terrific fights that wind up on HBO or Showtime through the years.
The best fights.
They could have been on pay-per-view. They could have been on pay-per-view, but, you know, neither of those fighters had enough notoriety. You know what I mean? To put those fights on pay-per-view. It's about notoriety.
I think Triple G is right there. He's got that Apple commercial now. Like,
he needs that opponent.
See, it's Apple commercial. That's what I keep hearing about.
He needs that marquee opponent, though, doesn't he?
Speaking of which, we're going to go into a little controversy. I saw an interview with Roy Jones, and he's talking about how...
No, don't talk about Roy.
No. Not talking bad about Roy.
Whoa.
It's a saying I kind of disagree with him here. He was asked about the race factor, and he was saying about how African American fighters aren't given the opportunities for sponsorships, and you have a guy like Golovkin getting a Apple commercial, and you got a guy like Pacquiao coming here and getting
the pistachio commercial.
Well, no, it's true. And Nike. I think this is the thing here. I remember back in the day when Sugar Ray Leonard had crossover commercials, 7-Up. I remember Marvin Hagler had Right Guard. So I don't think it has anything to do with racism at all. I think it has to do with the fact that boxing is not popular enough of a sport here. And
anymore.
Unless you're bringing a huge amount of fanfare, where the reason these foreigners are bringing that fanfare is because of the fact that they're foreign and they're bringing their own culture here, following them first. They're coming with a wave of promotion, and then building off it and building that momentum off of it. So for them to get the corporate sponsors has nothing to do with racism. It has to do with nationalism, pridefulness. The U.S., unfortunately, has no nationalistic pride when it comes to their sports, aside from when they knock down a building. Then all of a sudden, everybody's proud to be American. But when there's an American fighter fighting a foreigner, they cheer for whoever they want, bro. They'll fight. You'll have Andre Ward and Golovkin. You'll have plenty of Americans cheering for Golovkin, without a doubt. 100%. Because that's how weird they are. American culture is just weird like that.
100%.
Mayweather and Pacquiao, you'll have more Americans cheering for Pacquiao than you do for Mayweather. Why? Because American culture is just weird like that. They're just no nationalistic pride. You know, they got to knock down a couple of buildings, and all of a sudden, everybody's a nationalistic pride for about a week or so. You know, and then you go back to normal.
That's a good point. So,
again, for me, it wasn't about racism, because you've had guys when boxing was a bigger sport, like Ray Leonard and like Marvin Hagler.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah, Mike Tyson had the Nintendo commercial for his own video game, as a matter of fact.
He did a bunch of commercials. He did it with his wife, Robin Givens, you know, all kinds of commercials.
So, I cannot agree with Roy there. And say that it's a race thing. You cannot always pull the race card. I'm sorry. You can't always pull the race card. In this particular situation, it's about making American boxers into the stars they should be. But in order to do that, you know, we're trying. We're putting boxing on network television and whatnot. But these guys got to have their own fanfare, bro. If there's no fanfare, the corporate sponsors are not going to be attracted. Golovkin comes with a lot of fanfare. But it started with the big fanfare from Russia first. Then he brought it here. He's a big knockout artist. And, you know, the mob is fickle. The people are fickle. You know, the masses of people are fickle. You tell everybody this guy's the best thing to slice bread. You put a bunch of money behind them, a bunch of hype behind them, like HBO's doing. And all of a sudden, what happens? All of a sudden, you have the star that you have, and corporate sponsors are attracted. I'll tell you what. I'll keep going further with this. Andre Ward, I spoke to him on the phone a couple weeks ago. He told me he has the contract they offered Golovkin. 50-50 split at 168 pounds. 50-50 split. Golovkin and his team turned it down, okay?
Of course they did.
No, I know of course they did. But what I'm saying is, then you get on HBO. They don't talk about that. As a matter of fact, they don't even mention Ward's name on Saturday night, aside from when they talked about the pound-for-pound list and who belongs at the top of it. But they didn't mention Ward's name at all as a possible opponent for Golovkin. No. What'd they do? They gave Andre a three-fight deal on HBO. They just gave him a three-fight deal. But he has to fight Kovalev at the end of it. He has to move up to light heavyweight. So you're making him move up to light heavyweight. And at the end of the contract, the third fight on the contract, he has to fight Kovalev on that. So you're basically making life easier for Golovkin and complicating life for Ward. You have here an American role model type of athlete. But again, it has nothing to do with his race, though. It has nothing to do with his race. And the reason I say that is because Ray Leonard was black as well, and he had these crossover commercials. So for me, it's about you're not marketing the athlete. You're not marketing the sport of boxing like it should be from an American perspective. It's only marketed from a foreign perspective. And you're making life, and even HBO is to blame here, they're making life easier for GGG. They didn't force GGG to say, okay, you know what? We're going to do this, this, and this for you, but at the end, you got to fight Andre Ward. No. They did that to Andre Ward. They said, we're going to do this, this, and this for you, but at the end, you have to fight Kovalev. So where does that leave Golovkin? Fighting junior middleweights? Where does that leave him? That's what I don't get. Golovkin is a terrific fighter. I'm not bashing Golovkin. He's the best middleweight in the world. I don't think there's a middleweight in the world that beats him. But Gotta call a spade here. It's a bit complicated.
Is he really a middleweight, though?
I think he's a middleweight, yeah. Because the, I tell you what, they were talking about... He's
a little bigger than me.
I'll tell you what, though.
He started at 154.
I tell you what, though. People made like, oh, he shouldn't have to go up to super middleweight. You know what tells you how much a guy struggles to make weight? Those IBF next day weigh-ins are huge. And for the Lemieux fight, being that Lemieux had the IBF title,
it was right
the
there.
Next day weigh-in, it's public. The next day weigh-in, the what they weighed is public. And Golovkin weighed just over 169 for the next day weigh-in, which means... If you're gaining 9 pounds overnight, and trust me, I've done the IBF weigh-in of when I was 140-pound champion in the IBF, and when I fought for the 147-pound title against Sean Porter. When you struggle to make weight, you put on a good amount of weight. You know, you put that on, and the 9 pounds Golovkin can put on overnight, by the morning time, because the IBF weigh-in is in the morning, the day of the fight. 9 pounds shows you he's not making middleweight that easily.
You slept weight off also. Yeah.
Yes, so. You also sleep a pound off. So 9 pounds... means you're not making the middleweight limit very easily. So don't try to bullshit us with this. Oh, he's too small to go up to super middleweight because he's weighing more than super middleweight by the time he steps in the ring. You know what I mean? So,
but did everybody ignore the comments that he made saying he'll go up to light heavyweight?
Yeah, but I think he just says it. And they do.
You know, Max, I'll go anywhere, Max.
He was willing
I'll fight
to do
everybody.
Exactly. But when a push comes to shove,
he was willing to do it with Frotch. He just won't do it with Ward because he knows he gets his ass.
He was willing to do it with Frotch. Frotch was retiring. What was he going to do with Frotch? Frotch fought everybody in the months already. How many guys is this guy going to fight?
No, but,
you know what I mean? He was willing to do it with Chavez, is my problem. Chavez. That your niece Gabriella probably beats if you give her time to train. You know what I mean?
She's
and
got a good
you know
jab.
What? Chavez is a fun guy. I'm not dissing him as a person.
My niece is getting
but
over
as a boxer,
she can't train
he leaves a lot to be desired. So why you're going to move up to 168 to fight Chavez, but you won't do it to fight Ward. And I'm not saying Golovkin should do it over in one fight. It's like they're doing to Ward, where they're making him do a 3-fight deal, and in the end, he has to fight Kovalev. Well, do the same thing. You should have done that to Golovkin. You know? Do that to Golovkin.
But they threw Canelo in there. He was like 12 years old against Floyd. You know what I mean? Like, they just to make the fight, that's what everybody wanted to see, and they made it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he took a loss.
I'll tell you what, though. I don't see the winner of Cotto and Canelo jumping in with Golovkin that easily. I really,
no?
No.
I don't.
I thought that's kind of like almost said deal, done deal.
No? I don't think it's I mean, on paper, it makes sense, but when you talk about it, this should happen and that should happen. When you look at the risk reward factor for those two guys, they are a much bigger entity than is Golovkin. They've established themselves as a bigger entity than is Golovkin. I'll tell you what. I bet you the loser has more of a chance to fight Golovkin than the winner, because the loser at that point has nothing to gain anymore.
Right.
And he's
That's
on
a good point.
And he has to rebound with a big win and a big fight. And maybe the loser can be talked into making a fight with GGG after the loser gets a win, of course.
I call you a fucking moron a lot, but you make some good points.
Here's my problem with that.
I know this business like the back of my hand. I sit back and listen and you learn when I talk.
Hey, Paulie.
My problem with that being a discussion, I don't think Cotto's not a middleweight or a junior middleweight,
right.
And Canelo's a junior middleweight.
Mm-hmm.
So why is that
why
even a discussion?
Canelo in the fight,
but Canelo's growing.
He's growing, but it shouldn't be a discussion. They're not his size.
Yeah. Yeah,
these are smaller fighters.
Yeah, of course,
gentlemen.
But if he does beat them,
I remember weight classes used to matter. Like when I was a kid, if a guy went up one or two weight classes in his career, like,
it was a big deal.
It was like a big deal.
Roberto Duran, right?
You know, like, Duran, somebody like that was like, you know, that was very, very rare.
And
you know,
he skipped one. He skipped a weight class.
Yes, but most guys did not move up in weight. Marvin Hagler defended the middleweight title for 8 years. 8 years.
Hopkins.
Yeah, I mean, Hopkins too. So this whole moving up in weight after like one or two defenses, and if you don't, like the media criticizes you, this is all... A bunch of bullshit. You know what I mean? This is all. It goes to show you, first of all, the entrance of PEDs in sports, which is obvious. If you're a moron, if you don't see it, that everybody just jumps up in weight classes like they're crossing the street now, and that used to never happen. So if you want to fall for it as a fan, you'd be that stupid. Go ahead. But if you look at over the course of us growing up, guys didn't jump up in weight classes like that. And people are gonna say, "Oh, well, back in the day they did." Back in the day, your problem is everybody. You think everybody was better than they were. I think back in the day the fighters were much more flawed, and there was a lot more room for error.
Guys.
Also, weigh-ins were the same day of the fight, so guys didn't gain as much weight overnight. What do we got to take a break?
No, we're not taking a break. We're just gonna go. We're gonna talk about Squarespace.
We gotta talk about Squarespace.
Oh. Yeah,
right, yeah. I'm on a rant. I'm on a rant mode today. I gotta be honest.
We're gonna take a break. He goes too long.
It's my show.
Oh,
my show.
Oh, that's your show.
It's fucking Seth's show.
It's not my show. Oh no.
You know what? It's Peter Codd's too. I gotta say, Peter Codd's holding it down.
He's got his name on there now.
When you read the Squarespace ad already, me.
Oh, whoa.
Read the Squarespace ad.
What do you got there? Well, you know something about this?
Well, my Juventus is still
you know
nil. It's in
you guys. You guys need to. You guys have your own websites or what?
What website?
I got one.
I have a Twitter. I tweet.
All right.
I own a domain name, which I could use on Squarespace.
Yeah, and you could build your own website on Squarespace. And you could also...
Oh, I saw where this was going. All right. I saw where Seth was going with that question. All right. Yeah. The big websites.
Hey, you offer the promo code. What's the promo code?
Paulie M.
What
else?
That's right. Yeah, you get 10% off.
If all my listeners don't know the promo code... Really, you got a problem.
We got to make sure you know.
Paulie M.
Now you got to ask
Paulie M. Paulie M. That's the promo code for anything I advertise.
Now you got to tell him. You got to use it. You got to use it. 10% off Squarespace. Make your own website.
Anytime you use the promo code Paulie M for any of the endorsements we do here on the show, you always get breaks. You always get a little bit of a discount. It's more worth it. So always remember Paulie M. Paulie M. For the break on Squarespace.
Dude, I've used Squarespace. 10 minutes, you're done. You can get your own website, your own domain. It's
that
so
quick,
easy.
Really?
It seems so easy
that even I could probably do it.
Yeah. Well, no, you got a BlackBerry.
That's a surprise.
I shouldn't even say that name. They're not sponsoring the show.
All right.
You know, the sites look professionally designed. The skills don't... You don't have to be a site designer to do it. They got all the pieces there for you. It's so easy.
You could build a nice website with, like the Olsen twins...
Yeah, if you want to make a site...
As the pitchers for the Mets.
What do you mean?
What is wrong? What are you talking about?
They look like the Olsen twins. They do.
You know, $8 a month, you can build a website. And it's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool. You know,
and you can do it yourself. You don't have to hire anybody, right? Squarespace makes it that easy. Right?
You don't even give a free trial with no credit card. Like, wow, you were so good, you come use it for free, and you'll definitely be into it. It's very cool. Paulie M, 10% off. And you know, Squarespace, build it beautiful.
Old and beautiful.
Is that nice? That's nice.
That is nice. I like that.
Sweet.
I like the way that sounds.
It's music. They have state-of-the-art technology.
And you know what? In this
badass
day and age, with things like Squarespace, even guys who aren't technology buffs can now become technology buffs with anything like Squarespace when you start building your websites. Well, you can at least feel like it. You're right.
To make it easy.
And Juventus is going on a little bit of a counterattack right at the last minute. Let's see what we got over here.
They're not sponsoring the show.
Yeah, they're not.
Juventus. Screw Juventus, okay? I'm going to shut it off. I'm going to turn it off right now.
And that's it. That's the game. Nil-nil. All right.
As Gaby would say, Juventus.
All that for nothing?
Yeah.
No, gets us a point, buddy. That's big. We already have 2 wins in this group. So now we have 7 points.
Mazel tov.
Better than a loss.
I got to check my phone for the Man City score, actually, because Man City and Sevilla.
Yeah, go ahead. Take your time. We'll just wait.
It's a tough group, bro.
Let me hit pause.
We have Sevilla in this group, too. Man City and Sevilla is... Let's see.
When the moon hits
my BlackBerry's a little bit slow, guys.
BlackBerry. He's got a BlackBerry.
I'm going to reload it. Reload.
He's got Donkey Kong on that thing.
Man City and
Do you
Sevilla.
Have a sidekick, too?
Man City and Sevilla. it's 1-1. It's still an injury time. But it's 1-1. All right.
You should have went on DraftKings and made up a team.
United tied the game.
You can't get DraftKings on a BlackBerry.
United tied CSP.
Well, I was going to say, if you could, you
should. You guys really got jokes. I said, I got to be honest with you. You went back home a couple weeks.
You came in all mean. You got me on the...
You got a bunch of jokes.
You put me on the defensive.
Yeah, you should have went on your phone and did a nice soccer team.
I should have.
Juventus.
No? There's a lot of players on Juventus you can pick.
I'm just psyched that City and Sevilla tying or drawing that way. They won't get any ground on Juventus. But go ahead.
That's good. You be psyched for that. I'm psyched for DraftKings.
Talk about it.
Talk about how psyched you are about DraftKings.
Well, I was actually showing Alyssa the guy that won like 1.2 million.
Yeah.
In football this week.
Do you ever look at the guys, teams they pick? It drives you crazy, right? Oh, if I just picked like two players make the whole difference.
Fuck.
This guy's like Sam Bradford, but then he has all these other guys you never would expect to score.
This guy had players like that. He had Stafford.
Right.
And I'm like,
I saw that.
They shit the bed. They don't have any wins. Now they get their first win, and this guy wins $1 million.
Unbelievable,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I've been having a tough time on DraftKings lately.
I picked Carlson Palmer this week.
Oh, yeah. Aaron Rodgers 1 week, too, and it's like he crapped the bed. Jamal Charles, I take. He's like, oh, my knee, motherfucker.
What about the guy from the Bengals? Isn't he a good one to pick?
Yeah, he's doing great. He's actually
Dalton,
doing really great.
Andy Dalton, yeah.
The ginger.
Yeah, that's Dalton. Canelo's cousin.
It probably is.
Yeah. Distant cousin.
Yeah.
So you just gotta start. Everything should start with him, I think.
The guys that do well, they look at the matchups. You look at the teams that are playing the crappy teams like the Jaguars, even if it's a bad
team
playing them.
What about the quarterback from the Eagles?
The quarterback from the Eagles, Bradford?
Yeah.
It's a quarterback, right?
Quarterback.
He threw 3 picks.
We got a story about that.
Chef Andrea would say.
That was Pete when he was... We're going to get into quarterback in a little while.
DraftKings is awesome, though. It's so much fun to play. It's addictive.
And the promo code is Paulie M.
It is? No, they changed it. They changed it to Seth N. I'm getting the credit. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, what do you
mean? Paul M. I'm trying to make some money over here.
They changed it to Peter Cards. Yeah. All of a sudden, you log in and you're negative.
Yeah, with Peter's locks.
How you doing on DraftKings over there?
I told you. Did you listen to the podcast while you were off?
No, I don't listen.
Yeah, he gets challenged now by our listeners.
Yeah.
Our listeners challenge him to, like, pick teams and...
Oh, yeah?
And I fucking won.
You beat
me. You challenge me? You want to fuck me? You get fucked with.
Whoa. Hey, DraftKings, really? It's a family game.
It's like that, really?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. You all right?
Yeah.
So anybody, any other challenges on the...
What do you got?
I haven't. They're scared now.
We should look at that, man. What do we got this week?
They're scared.
They're scared.
I haven't looked at the games yet this week. Still thinking about, like, the Mets, man. Like,
yeah, the Mets.
Dale Murphy's having an historic run. I can't
believe what he's doing.
I go look at the box score. I'm like,
we were talking about it yesterday. He beat Mike Piazza's all-time playoff
already.
Run. Right. He's in one playoff.
Right. That's crazy.
Everybody's like, oh, Piazza was a great hitter for us.
He's having, like, a ridiculous playoff.
I know. So did Beltran when he was with Houston.
He had, like, seven home runs. Hey. Yeah. Yeah, and then and the Met fans are like, oh, we don't want Dan Murphy on our team anymore. We're not going to sign him. Like, okay, who's gonna bat number three next for you next year? Like, who do you got to replace him?
They got Murphy. They got to take him.
They got him and Cespedes.
Cespedes, Murphy,
and all those pitchers.
Pitchers,
they can't keep them.
If the Mets win the World Series and they're in New York, this team, they have to sell the team, right?
They don't have a bankroll like the Yankees. The Yankees
they have to, though. They're a New York team,
right? And they're gonna sell out next year. They'll sell out of season tickets.
They have to be able to keep those plays. I mean, I'm not a Mets fan, but come on,
winning makes teams make money, right? I mean, they're making a shitload of money now, and they're gonna sell out of season tickets.
You gotta start becoming like legit, like dynasty type thing. You know what I mean?
And it's
like,
you got to put your sack on the table and start spending money.
You got to pay the players that make
you
got you
there. Saku Koivu, no?
Yeah, you got to put your Saku up.
Oh,
yeah.
Saku, Mr. Saku.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
And then from there, what do you do? You just build a dynasty? Is that how it works?
Sure. I mean,
well, they got the pitching. It's all
so
about
simple.
Pitching, right?
No, the Mets are the Mets. They're you're not going to build a dynasty. I mean, listen, they're in the fucking playoffs. Okay.
But,
come on.
You got to give credit, though.
What are you saying?
Yeah.
If they keep these guys, they got a dynasty.
I know.
You don't think they compete next year again with that kind of team?
Well,
those three pitchers stay healthy. DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Harvey.
Listen, Mbop.
No, he looks like a Viking. He's got a name like a Viking. Noah Syndergaard is like 6'9". Yeah.
6'7".
Yeah. Something like that.
Oh!
Thanks
but
for coming.
You know that I know. You know, pitches, when you see them more and more, I'm not being a hater.
I've been watching you, Norton.
Maybe I am being a hater.
I know, Joe. Guys saw Greg Maddux for 20 years. They still couldn't figure him out. I know.
He's special. You don't know. You can't crown the king before he's king, like I said about Tanaka.
You mentioned
I understand, but they just went through a whole season, and now they're going through the playoffs. That means they've seen them plenty of times already.
No.
You mentioned Greg Maddux, and it's funny. Like, some guys did not vote him in the Hall of Fame. He wasn't 100%.
Horrible.
Yeah, they shouldn't be allowed to vote anymore.
They had, like,
they're just assholes.
Brain,
you know?
Nah, that's like you have a brain dysfunction.
Yeah,
you
know, like, the guy was unbelievable.
Yeah.
One of the best of all time.
100%.
Like Smoltz.
Yeah.
Right.
The Braves didn't get enough out of that franchise. Honestly, though, that pitching staff, they won one World Series. Kidding me? The pitchers, they had Avery, Smoltz, Maddux.
You know where they went wrong? They were up 2-0 against the Yankees in 96, and then the Yankees walked out of the parking lot, and they saw the Braves smoking cigars and laughing. They all got pissed off.
Is that a true story?
True story.
Really?
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
No.
I just told you.
Seth, 100%? You're not
swear to God. I swear to God.
I remember that World Series because I remember game one we lost 4-0, and game two we lost 12-1.
Yeah.
Or the other way around.
Something like that.
I know those were the scores of the first two games.
We got beat pretty handily.
We got smashed.
They were defending champs.
And they were the defending champ. I remember Reggie Jackson picked the Braves to win, which is a shame. Reggie Jackson is like the biggest Yankee hater.
Well, you got Smoltz, Glavine, and Maddux.
He played for the Yankees.
He's a Yankee hater?
He played for Yankees. If you ask him about anything, he never picks the Yankees for anything.
But Mr. October, really?
Yeah.
But the Yankees were an upstart team at that point. The Braves had the pitching like the Mets right now.
We had the Mariano Wetland save connection.
Yes. And the only
place we went wrong in that season is having Kenny Rogers as a pitcher.
And Joe,
he should have stayed doing country music.
True that.
And instead, he was a pitcher.
You know, he didn't know when to fold him.
Exactly. He didn't know when to fold him. Yeah, he took your joke. Oh, hey, it was Peter Carson, man.
Sorry. I should be quiet.
I thought he was just a fucking producer.
That's a little disrespectful. You hurt me a little bit.
You're extremely witty.
Yeah, a little bit. And Steinbrenner was talking to Torrey. Torrey said, "Yeah, don't worry about it, George. We'll go down to Atlanta. We'll sweep and we'll finish up in Game 6." And that's exactly what they did.
I tell you what, though, you know who started that dynasty that never got to be a part of it? Is Buck Showalter.
He sure did.
Buck Showalter stayed for all the tough years where, you know, they were slowly building to Crescendo, and then they got to the
and Stick point Michael, where they were GM, so good. Signing those guys, Bernie and Derek and Mariano and Jorge,
and then Buck had to leave.
Oh yeah, but you know,
imagine Buck on this team. Because honestly, done with Joe Girardi. Dude.
Buck is a better manager in his sleep than Joe Girardi is. I didn't like Joe Girardi when we had him. Like, he's like the quintessential guy who gets his job because he has friends in the organization. You know, like, which a lot of that's how this world tends to work sometimes. But
you guys are harsh, man.
Nah, come on, dude. Seriously,
you like Joe Girardi as a manager?
I'm so on him. I don't. No sense of urgency, man. They don't like they play that wild card game.
He overthinks everything. He's like, oh come on. He gets out managed by any good manager.
You don't bunt him over.
Well, I know I'm with you on that. I don't like that. Everybody should know how to bunt. Even the Duda bunted last night, didn't he? Duda.
Dude, the fucking, Greinke.
Spit it out, Junior. Spit it out.
Kershaw bunts better than Gardner does.
Well, the pitchers have to know how to bunt. That's like their job. But
Jesus Christ. Everybody, you're playing
in the Gardner should bunt, though, right? I agree.
Why don't you give us the quarterback story?
The New York Yankees.
So we're talking about quarterback. We're talking about accents and, go ahead. So what's the quarterback story, Pete? What is it? So go ahead.
So we were in Atlantic City,
uh-huh.
And our idol was fighting. Arturo Gatti fought. And he lost to
Baldomir. Right?
Baldomir.
Yeah.
And I talked to his manager, Pat Lynch, and I'm like, "Hey, Pat, I'm like, you know, where are you guys going to go? I want to have a drink with you guys." And he's like, yeah. He's like, "We'll be right at this bar in like a half hour. You know, he's just going to shower up or whatever." So I'm like, all right. I go to the bar, and obviously we know Joe Gatti.
Yeah.
I had never met his younger brother, Fabrizio.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the bar, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this guy, and I thought he looked familiar, so I'm thinking that it was Fabrizio. Mm-hmm. So I'm like,
the
Arturo.
First we went to Arturo, yeah.
Yeah, I was hanging out with Arturo, we're having drinks, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, is that... Is that your brother Fabrizio? And he's like, no.
This guy was around Arturo. Like, he was part of the entourage.
he goes, no, he's quarterback.
And then he put his hand up like a throwing motion.
It's
a quarterback.
It's a quarterback. It turned out to be Wayne Corbett.
Who was actually a wide receiver for the New York Jets. And he's hanging out with Arturo Torres, and you know who he was.
I realized it afterward. I'm like, oh.
Which at the time, Corbett was actually an active player. It's not like now he's retired. And he was actually good. A good player, yeah. Corbett
he had a lot of concussions, right?
I think so. Extra product. He was a good wide receiver. But he wasn't a quarterback.
Definitely wasn't.
Keyshawn didn't like him. Remember that?
Keyshawn didn't like anybody in his Jets days. I wouldn't have liked anybody either if I was on the Jets in those days.
Jets are looking good this year.
Yeah. They are. Actually looking better than the Giants. How about that Giant game? Do we ever like get a consistent winning streak on the Eagles? Ever? Like, the Eagles have been kicking our ass since I've been watching football. No joke. Like, once in a while we'll beat them. But, like, for the most part, they beat the shit out of us. Like, I've been watching football since 1988, which were the Randall Cunningham days for the Eagles. Okay, that's my first season I watched football. Bro, they've been kicking the shit out of us since then. Like, I don't remember us, like, going on a consistent winning streak over the Eagles at any point in my lifetime. At any point at all.
We
used to get swept every year when they had Cunningham. Every year they used to win two games off us.
We have a better shot at beating the Patriots every year.
No, legit.
Right.
Not even joking.
It's that serious.
Like, you know, this is a team we play twice a year, every year. Okay? I've been watching since 88. They beat the shit out of us every year. Like, once in a while, we get a couple of wins here and there. But for the most part, I mean, they go on tears against us where we don't beat them for, like, years. You know what I mean?
The year that Plaxico shot himself, we were 10-1, right?
11-1.
11-1. We lost to Cleveland.
Yeah, we lost to Cleveland.
Right?
That year, nobody was beating us. That was actually the best Giant team I've ever seen in my life.
And then
the Giants decided to be geniuses and not only suspend Plaxico for the regular season, they suspend him for the playoffs, too. Yeah, nice move, guys.
At that point, we had beaten the Eagles, right? In that year?
Yeah, we had beaten everybody, yeah. That year,
10-1 or something, right?
We were 11-1. We actually beat the shit out of everybody that year. That was unbelievable.
They're looking going head that toward a repeat.
That is the best New York Giant team I've ever seen until Plaxico shot himself.
Even that, that Cleveland game was like, how the hell are we losing to Cleveland?
Honestly, yeah. Even the Cleveland game was a big upset.
If you're going to carry your gun, you got to have it pocket.
Yeah, but honestly.
No pockets.
I know the whole thing with the guns and everything, but honestly, like, the guy shot himself. Like, you don't have to suspend him for the whole year. You could have suspended him for the rest of the regular season and brought him back in the playoffs. Like, that was a little bit over the top for me.
He didn't shoot anybody but himself.
Yeah, and that's a punishment enough when you shoot yourself, you know? Like, yeah, I think he learned his lesson very well already, you know?
He almost shot his own pecker off. That's scary enough, no?
He did a Cheddar Bob.
He Cheddar Bob.
Whatever it is, though, the guy was our best offensive threat. You changed the entire scenery of our offense, basically, you know? But whatever, so that was the bottom line there, and that ended that season. But even then, then I think we were beating the Eagles then. But that was like, again, maybe you'll have like a season, maybe
sporadic.
Two where we beat the Eagles, a season or two where we beat the Eagles. But for the most part, you know, it just doesn't happen.
It's too sporadic.
And he threw three picks, Bradford. He's still like a crushed 27-7. Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, we didn't have any points off of our turnovers that we forced.
We got to actually move the ball too, Seth. You know what I mean? That's how it works. You know?
The offensive line looked dreadful, man.
That's what's killing Peyton too in Denver.
Yeah.
Although he's looking old too on top of it.
Eli looked flat.
Yeah.
He had a sick game with San Francisco though.
Yeah.
Gruden
was saying going into the Eagles game that he's like this is the best I've seen Eli play in a long time and
he jinxed him.
Yeah.
It's Gruden's fault.
Fucking Chucky.
Bro, he came back with 2 minutes left. Against the Niners.
Yeah, no, he's a beast.
Yeah,
they blew that Falcons game though too at the end.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
You can't be blowing games like that. That kills you later.
It's little mishaps that always happen with the Giants that I notice, like stupid turnovers. You know, you can't.
We're gonna keep talking about the Giants and just get depressed. I mean,
how about the Seattle Seahawks are 2-4? Who saw that coming? Losing at home.
I picked Carolina.
Yeah, you had the lock. Yeah, they're the
I got them with the points. See, I took that extra half of the 7.5.
No,
right?
I took them on the money line. The only problem is,
what's the problem?
I actually lost everything.
All right,
I bet against the Mets all week.
What's wrong with you, Kershaw Greinke?
Yeah, the only depressed thing about the Mets winning is like I wanted Back to the Future to really be right. Like,
well, it's not.
By the way, which is today?
Today.
Oh, today's Back to the Future Day.
I know. What are we supposed to do?
Today.
What are we supposed to do?
We gotta look for a DeLorean, a flying DeLorean, if it shows up out of the past.
What would you do? Would you get in it?
Oh, flying. Yeah.
If he was outside, you walked out. Like, come on, let's go.
I'll go back to the '80s in a heartbeat.
It's the car.
At my age, I live in the '80s.
He doesn't know what the DeLorean is.
No, Peter Clark doesn't watch movies that he thinks are like based on fantasy.
That's brutal, though.
Oh, I know. Trust me.
Is that true?
We've gone over this with Peter Cards. Even on the air, I think we've gone over it. But he doesn't watch like superhero movies.
What?
Movies like Back to the Future.
Avengers?
To him, it's Avengers?
Like, to him, look at the geek in the back. He goes,
yeah, I know.
Avengers?
But you watch the Kardashians where it's all scripted, all half hour of it. I know, all hour.
Fake butts.
I know.
Yeah.
Forget about fake butts. Forget about, bro. Good.
You bring up the Kardashians, this is serious shit, bro.
Good.
Lamar is in trouble.
No, I thought he's feeling better.
He's feeling better. Lamar's in trouble though. He overdosed. They found him in a brothel.
Yeah. This is common knowledge.
Wait. I heard he paid like
75 grand
for a fucking ugly ass fucking prostitute.
Yeah, but that's probably the media exaggerating. I guarantee you it wasn't that bad. Who pays 75 grand to get laid? Come on.
The guy was high.
No, he had a couple girls in there.
But then he goes into a coma, which is horrible, obviously.
Yeah.
So everybody's like praying for Lamar to make a speedy recovery because I think he's gonna recover in the end. But I heard Charlie Sheen was like, the fuck is this guy's problem? That's like a Tuesday for me. This guy's in a coma?
Winning.
Winning.
It's true. For Charlie Sheen thought he was probably like a amateur. Yeah.
Oh, somebody showed Keith Richards that too. It's like, this isn't Keith Richards, like fucking amateur.
Yo, how about Chloe bringing the cameras into the hospital room?
No, she didn't.
Did she?
I thought that is disgusting, man.
Really?
What
do you expect?
That's horrible.
Anything for TV with the Kardashians?
I don't follow that shit.
If my life is on the line and I have this bitch making decisions for me,
oh my god, kill me.
I would be dead.
Well, that's why Lamar was in the position he's in. Exactly. If you're intelligent enough to have somebody like the Kardashians making decisions for you, then you're probably intelligent enough to wind up in that situation that you wound up in.
I hate to steal somebody's shit, but I'm actually a big fan. Kevin Hart said they made Lamar a crackhead. Mm-hmm. They made Bruce a woman. What the fuck is gonna happen to fucking Kanye? What's next?
Yeah. He's gonna be president.
Yeah. That's what he said. Right?
Yeah.
2020.
He sees Donald Trump. He's like, "Well, I'm pop. I'm famous too. Yeah. I'm gonna run for president. All right, good luck."
What about Scott Disick? What happened to him?
Oh, he was an alcoholic. I'm sorry. Yeah,
they made him an alcoholic too.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he still on the show?
He's in rehab. I think they broke up.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Honestly, they should give that guy a reality show. I would watch his reality show.
I did not think we would talk about this.
Because that shit doesn't give a fuck about the reality show, honestly. I don't see any interest. I have no interest in it. Like, I've sat in on it with Peter and his fiance once in a while, and I'm like, I actually feel my brain getting stupider
it's
as I'm watching.
It's just nice.
Like, literally, like,
watching those
I'm
asses.
Watching that show.
Duh.
Boom.
Yeah, all right. You can look at them on the internet if you want to feel that obsessed with looking at them. But
yeah, it's
they're not that hot.
I'm watching.
They're not that hot.
I'm watching the show. Like, I've sat in on a couple of episodes. Like, I literally, as it goes by, I'm literally feeling my brain like I'm getting stupider. I can't sit through the whole hour, and then I end up leaving.
No, like, I like seeing pictures of Kim from, like, 5-10 years ago before she got all the work done, when she looked like a real cute girl, and then she did all the stuff, you know?
It's whatever about the look. I mean, they're all pretty girls. Yeah. I'm not gonna knock on.
I'm
their
knocking
looks.
The surgery.
It has nothing to do with their looks. You know, it's just I feel like I'm getting stupider when I'm watching that show. Like literally, like,
dumb blondes without the hair.
It's like Billy Madison.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
all have gotten dumber. For
yeah, when Billy Madison does that last speech, and like everybody's listening to it, everybody in this room is now dumber from having listened to that speech. Think about the ratings they get, and this is why the American culture is like among the stupidest in the world, if not the stupidest. I think you know, like. They sit there, and the show has such high ratings that they're on television for, like, what, half a decade now at least?
Yeah.
Right?
One more.
Longer.
Longer.
Crazy.
Think about how stupid the American public has to be. Think about how dumb the American public has to be.
And they have some of the highest ratings.
That's what I'm saying. Wait, exactly. So think about how dumb. If I feel like I'm watching and I'm getting dumber, that means there's millions of people getting dumber every week watching that show religiously. But I don't watch it religiously, and I feel like I got stupider from having watched it the little bit of minutes that I've watched it. Wow, yeah. Is that like a goal in injury time by Man City? No, sir.
That is a goal.
Oh, my God. I was looking. No. 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 You got to be kidding me. No.
Who
is
that?
Is that a tear?
I want them gaining on Juventus. Bro, I said before when I was reading off the scores, they were in injury time, and it was 1-1, and I was psyched for the draw. You got to be kidding me, dude. All right, sorry. I think you guys are still in first place, though.
Yeah. Why don't you try?
Thor, beat them head
Thor
to head.
Is the goalie.
Oh, come on, dude. Are you kidding me with that shot? It was a nice goal, though, huh?
It was, yeah.
That was a nice shot. Not going to lie.
Well, you got to spike those, Fokker.
He did. He spiked it right in the corner.
Fokker.
Introducing Pauly.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
Malignaggi.
This is Pauly Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to former two-time world champion Pauly Malignaggi from Brooklyn to the world.
Are we going to talk about some serious stuff now?
Yeah. Serious?
Yeah, we got to talk about a couple of serious things. First off and foremost, we've... At times, we've been a little harsh on the NYPD and stuff like that because, you know, they fuck up. What are you going to do, you know? So, you got. But here, you know, a lot of people don't talk about when one of these guys does their job right and he gets hurt, you know. And this is a... I got a news flash here on my phone that a police officer died last night. Officer Randolph Holder, 33 years old, and a Guyanese immigrant. He was shot during an exchange of gunfire on 8:30 p.m. Tuesday evening near the FDR Drive because he was responding to an armed robbery in a park. So this guy was basically trying to, you know, help out. Somebody got robbed at gunpoint, and he was responding to the armed robbery, and he was in a shootout, and he was shot, and he ended up passing away. So, you know, our condolences go out to him and the family and his partner and everybody out there, you know. And this goes an example that sometimes, yeah, some of these cops, definitely, a lot of these cops have to be criticized. And we've gone over the fact that I think there should be a stricter rules in that not just anybody should be able to become a cop. But when this happens, it makes you realize that these guys are actually trying to be out there and do the right thing. And so our condolences to to Officer Holder and his family and everybody else, you know, because it's always sad and you never want to hear this stuff. Unfortunately, we also have to keep talking about the sad stuff. We talked about this weekend's fights, Pete, right? We talked about the Golovkin fight.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We saw Prishar Cologne and Terrell Williams also fought Saturday on PBC. Now, first and foremost, people always talk about light matchmaking on PBC. Well, this was not one of those fights, I think, where anybody can complain about the matchmaking being too light. Two undefeated prospects, both very hungry, and they're trying to get to the next level in their careers. And, you know, Prishar Cologne, and they're losing on a disqualification, or anybody that saw it, or probably you've read about it at this point, why he was disqualified, because they took the gloves off at the end of the ninth round, and there was one more round to go, so they disqualified him. He had already been hurt in the fight. He was probably behind on points, but it was a good fight. It was a good fight, and both guys had given each other pretty good shots. And unfortunately, in boxing, sometimes this kind of thing happens where guys get seriously hurt. It's part of the risk of the sport. This is why, unfortunately, it's the only time people take a step back and say, wow, you know, what a shame. You know, this is such a dangerous sport. Because the rest of the time, I'm hearing geeks and nerds all over social media and whatever talking about how this guy's a pussy and that guy's a pussy. Well, if everybody's a pussy, we'd all be doing this. But less than 1% of the population is doing boxing, and less than 1% of that amount of the population is doing boxing at the highest level that you can do it. Now, Terrell Williams and Prishar Cologne were fighting for an opportunity, probably that the winner was probably going to get a big fight. You know, that fight itself was a big fight. It was a co-main event on network television, on NBC. So, you know, they were fighting their hearts out, and they were both going for it. Here's my problem. Obviously, there's a lot of problems, and I think there's nobody to blame. And everybody, anytime something like this happens, people look to point fingers and look to blame somebody. And I think at times, when somebody's gotten hurt, there are people to blame. Like, for example, the Gerald McClellan Nigel Benn fight 20 years ago. I thought the referee was horrible. I thought that fight should have ended in round one.
It was horrible, yeah.
When Gerald put Nigel through the ropes, and if that fight ends in round one, Gerald McClellan today is a normal human being. But so at times, I think there are criticisms to be given.
The guy in the Garden, Mago,
yeah,
Mago. The heavyweight.
Yeah, but even that's the corner maybe could have stopped that. You know,
it's not the ref's fault. It's not the commission's fault. It's hard when the ref
has to see you staggering. I mean, you know, it's all about giving the fighter a proper opportunity.
You know what though, Pritchard did look clear-eyed.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Pritchard, he was losing, but he was still trying. He actually won some of those late rounds, so I can't blame the referee. I notice on social media everybody's blaming the referee, and here's my problem with everybody blaming the referee. First of all, the referee tried to take as much control as he could. He took points from both guys. At a certain point in the fight, there were points taken away from both guys. Yeah, there was still fouling going on, but it was no more extra fouling going on than any other fights that I've watched. And you know, I've watched many other fights. I mean, I'm not saying all fights have that much fouling, but I've watched plenty of other fights where there's more fouling than that going on and nothing's happening. You know, I've been part of fights where I'm getting fouled like crazy and nothing's happening, to the point where at this point in my career, I don't even look at the referee anymore when I get fouled. Like, I just trying to deal with it, see if I can give it back. If not, it's a fight. Don't complain. Try to get the job done. So
it's funny you say that, because Steve Smolger is who they refer to as, should that ref have done that? Should that ref have done that? Meanwhile, he's the biggest fucking watcher and does nothing.
Yeah, but regardless, but, you know, this isn't a time to really criticize anybody, even Steve, because here's my issue with all of this. The referee tried to take control as much as he could, and then when the fight ends and Prishar winds up in the coma, everybody's like, oh, the referee did a horrible job. You know how many times I've watched a fight and the referee gets criticized for inserting himself too much in the action when he does try to do
100%.
His job? It's gotten to the point where referees are actually scared to do their job because there's a bunch of pussies in press row sitting in the fan section or in the commentating booth constantly criticizing them for doing their job, for inserting themselves. Bro, if there's fouls, the ref has to insert himself. I don't care how much he's killing the momentum of the action. If there's legitimate fouls going on, the referee should and has to insert himself. I don't care if he's ruining your fucking entertainment. And this is why. What happened to Prishar Cologne Saturday afternoon is why the referee has to always insert himself when there's fouls. But it's gotten to the point where referees get criticized so much for inserting themselves in the action when they try to do their job that they're now scared to insert themselves and quote-unquote over-officiate a fight. where they're going to kill your momentum. And if they kill your momentum, all these fans, all, you know, the most important thing is entertainment. They're going to kill your entertainment. Okay? This is my problem with it. Now everybody all of a sudden is criticizing the referee for being horrible, for not enforcing the rules. When those same pussies, those same assholes, would have been criticizing the referee had he done his job, because they would have been constantly criticizing him for over-inserting himself in the action, just like they always do. They always criticize the referee when he's constantly giving warnings and trying to clean up the fight when it's overly dirty. To the point where referees don't do it anymore. And you have rough and tough fights where it's a free-for-all. I remember my rematch with Love Moreno. There was so much controversy over the first fight where the referee broke us too early, according to Endo, that the second fight, Mickey Van did nothing at all. I mean, literally, I would get in clinches, and this guy would hit me in the back of my head with like 10 unanswered punches. You know what I mean? When he was trying to undo my braids, if everybody remembers a braid fight, obviously. So I've been in fights, and not just that one, where referees watch the fight. They don't do anything. And I understand why, because there's a bunch of pussies in press row that are constantly criticizing. A bunch of pussies in the commentating booth. There's a bunch of pussies watching at home on television. There's a bunch of pussies in the stands that are sitting there complaining about the referee not letting the action go on because they want to be entertained. It's for them, the safety doesn't matter. They don't want to be entertained. Well, now you have what happened to Prishar Kalona. This is a lesson. It's a lesson that a referee is never over-officiating. A referee's never over-officiating when he's doing his job. If he's not doing his job, okay. Because unfortunately, you also get some, once in a while, a very unqualified referee, and it fucks up the whole rotation, and it fucks up my argument that I'm making right now. And I'll give you an example of that, too, because I understand. You have a guy like Vic Draculich, who, in the Amir Khan Louis Collazo fight, let all the holding get away with Amir Khan.
The pushing down.
Louis Collazo is complaining to the referee about holding. Draculich is telling him to quit your belly aching. That literally was his quote. Letting Khan constantly hold. Then you get a fight a few months later. The same referee wakes up in the morning and maybe decides tonight he's going to actually officiate. And he disqualifies Diego Chavez for holding Brandon Rios. When to me, that holding wasn't nearly as bad as the Khan holding on Collazo, because Chavez and Rios was kind of a rough and tumble fight inside. They were still working even in those clinches. So when you get a referee who waits, how he wakes up in the morning and wants to decide, you know, I'm going to officiate this way today and tomorrow I'm going to officiate this other way. Yeah, that's a problem. Now, you need to have qualified referees, and then you need to have them make sure they're doing their job correctly, and they shouldn't be intimidated by these pussies outside the ring from doing their job correctly. So it's a lot more complicated than it seems. I understand that. It's a lot more complicated than it seems. But when you have a situation on Saturday where Prishar Kalona is now in a coma, and whether he comes out of it or not, and I heard maybe he's coming out of it, you know, he's showing signs of life, I've never seen somebody go through this surgery and come out normal again. And that is a tragedy. This kid is 23 years old. 23 fucking years old. His life is over as we know it, okay? Even if he lives, and I'm hearing some good things that he's, you know, and maybe he's moving around and whatnot, you have to relearn. I've never seen a fighter come out normal. These guys have to relearn to talk. They have to relearn to walk. You know.
Pedro.
Yeah, but he wasn't in a ring. He felt. I've seen guys come out of comas, but I'm talking about guys that took this damage in a boxing ring and went into these comas.
Was it, we had. Freddie Cadena was like a...
I don't know.
He was...
Oscar Diaz wound up in a nursing home, and he just died earlier this year. You know, I was in the amateurs with him. I don't know. I'm just... You know, you hope for the best. Regardless of anything,
Colon's
boxing career is over. They're never the same. It's just, and again, it's something that could have been avoided, but I understand that I don't think there's anyone to blame on Saturday, okay? The people who are pointing the blame at the referee, they should look at themselves and probably... They have a little piece of that blame to share on themselves.
So it says he complained of dizziness after the seventh round.
It's what? But that's in the corner. Again, your corner's got to spur you on to win the fight. I can't say, oh, let's stop the fight now because the fighter doesn't feel good. You know how many fights I haven't felt good in like round six and I got to finish it anyway?
You get hit with a good shot. Yeah. You feel dizzy. Put water on his head and send him back out.
Yeah. Fernandez fight.
So even that. You know, you can't go by blaming the corner, so to speak, unless it's outright blatant. You know what I mean? And the referee you can't blame because Cologne was not only fighting, but he was winning rounds.
There's no one
to blame Saturday. The people that are to blame are the people that let it get to this point with the referee. That's my point here. Guys, that's my point. The people that let it get to this point where a referee has to be scared to over-officiate a fight like that, quote-unquote over-officiate, because obviously it wouldn't be over-officiating if he was, those are the people that got to be blamed. So all those people that are not blaming the referee, those are the same pussies that would be complaining about over-officiating. So every single one of you motherfuckers got to look in the mirror and take 0.1% of the blame, and the other 1.1% of it. And altogether, you'll take it'll be a combined effort of 100% of the blame, because this referee Saturday night could have refereed maybe a little bit stronger. But how much more stronger is he going to referee? He already took points from both guys. You know you would have been taken away. You putting criticism into him. You know you would have, because you constantly do it. You always do it to these referees, and it's not fair to them, and it's not fair to the fighters.
But I'd like to see those pussies that you're talking about. They don't want the ref to do his job, but I would like to see if they were getting hit behind the fucking head. Yeah. You know, getting hit behind the head while they're trying to fight, and you know you're tired. You exhausted at sometimes, and you're getting hit behind the head. And listen, is it a freak thing on some level? Yeah, of course. There's guys that go through 60 fight careers that don't have this, but it is a dangerous sport.
Yeah, and it goes to show you it can happen at any point.
It can happen at any point.
Nobody saw that coming. I've seen much more violent fights than Cologne and Williams on Saturday night. I've seen much rougher fights than Cologne and Williams on Saturday night. I've seen much dirtier fights than Cologne and Williams on Saturday night. So everybody's body reacts differently to different amounts of punishment. And it's also the given day. It's also how you made weight. It's also how kind of training camp you've had. It's a lot of things involved. So sometimes you can't avoid it. It's very hard to avoid it. This is the risk all fighters are going through, which is why you have to clean up a sport as much as you can from PEDs, which is why you have to clean up the sport as much as you can from incompetent officials, which is why you have to clean up a sport as much as you can from these moronic media imbeciles who everybody can just jump on the internet, write a blog, and all of a sudden get a credential to a fight nowadays. You have to clean up the sport from these fucking idiots. It's enough now. This is the most dangerous sport in the world. Any combat is dangerous. And that's my rant. I hope I've made my point. I'm sure some of you will disagree and some of you won't. That's my point.
You're in it, man. You know it.
Right. It's coming from a two-time world champion.
Yeah, you're a pretty good resource, reliable.
If you're gonna question
credible
him on how tough
fights are. Just I've been in the ring
of
all kinds of fights, rough fights, dirty fights, intense fights, non-intense. You know, I've been inside the ring to experience probably almost everything you can experience in this sport. And even outside the ring, I've experienced enough to where you can experience almost anything in this business, you know, the business aspect of it. So I can speak from firsthand experience. I can speak from knowledge that I've acquired through the years, and even from seeing other fighters and other athlete situations. So hopefully, you know, I'm not saying this is going to be fixed. Prashar Cologne wasn't the first one, and he won't. Unfortunately, he's not going to be the last one. It's you know, this is just part of the risk of the combat sport that we're in. But you just try to avoid it as much as you can. You know, qualified people have to handle these situations, and it's not talking about the referee, because again, for me, that guy wasn't doing more because of the fear of criticism from all these media people. Anyway, that's all for today's show, right?
I think there's any fights this weekend that people should know about.
Crawford versus Dirijan, pretty good fight. You know, it's not a bad fight. I mean, Dirijan's not a bad fighter. I mean, on paper, you can criticize it. I love how everybody criticizes